My kingdom does not belong to this world. My kingly authority comes from elsewhere. Perhaps it seems a strange thing that in this last Sunday before Advent, five Sundays before Christmas Day, with all the anticipation of the birth of Jesus, that the lectionary should direct us to the story of Jesus' last few days on earth. It's possibly even more surprising that one of the readings jumps right into the middle of the trials of Jesus. In a moment of crisis, as Pilate questions him, we have a statement of the claims being made for him and the nature of his power. It does get to the heart of the Christian message. So it is right that as we end the church's year and prepare to celebrate the incarnation, the birth of the Son of God, we should give time to consider Jesus' importance and the nature of his power. We've already noticed that Samuel, nearly 1,000 years before, was only too well aware of how power and corruption could ruin a monarchy and produce a dangerous situation for the people. And so he establishes wisely an anointed king. Israel's king will be different. The people are told he is to rule under God. His power is not absolute, and he has to obey God's law. It makes a difference. And the prophets from time to time try to make sure that the kings keep to that agreement. And in David's final words, we hear from a king who appreciated that he had been anointed, that the Spirit of the Lord was with him. He understood that when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, then he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning. David knows too that God has made a covenant with his people for the future. And we believe that we're about to celebrate the birth of the one who came from David's family, the Lord's anointed. So all four of the Gospels record Pilate's question to Jesus, "Are you a king?" In those days, of course, a king really did mean ruling over people and having political power, or at least claiming to have it. We can imagine that to Pilate, who was used to seeing formal dress in the Roman army, Jesus didn't look like a king, at least as far as what he was wearing was concerned. And he wasn't armed. Nor did he appear before Pilate like the kings that he was used to seeing, laying down the law, demanding rights for his people, objecting to the Roman rule over their land. Pilate's job was to worry about peacekeeping. Jesus did not seem to present that sort of threat. And yet there was this charge of treason, claiming to be a king. But as Jesus came before Pilate, Pilate must have begun to worry about who was really in charge of this conversation. When you have a prisoner, you interrogate them, you ask them lots of questions, and you expect answers. But this didn't really go according to plan. Pilate begins with the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" But Jesus answers with another question. "Is that your own question, or have others suggested it to you?" As the conversation continues, Pilate is clearly puzzled. He's not getting information about the guilt of this prisoner. He's having a very different kind of conversation altogether. And Jesus confirms what Pilate really already knows. He's not there to present a political threat to Roman rule. His followers don't take up arms against the government. So then Pilate returns to the question, "So you are a king?" Jesus then agrees with that. And then we have the words that ring in our ears as we approach the season of Christmas. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. This is the heart of the message, and Pilate knows that this is quite a different kind of power. So the account of this trial finishes with Pilate's question, more perhaps to himself than to Jesus, an important question: what is truth? His kingdom is not of this world, but he comes to bring truth. He is indeed Christ the King, but his kingship is different. And it's different because the power comes directly from God. It doesn't rest on force or of accident of birth or appointment by a dictator. It doesn't follow an election. Jesus is God on earth, and his kingdom is God's kingdom. Through him we see the truth about God and about the value of human beings. We see God at work. And in our lives and experience, in our prayer and worship, we begin to see the potential, the glimpses of the kingdom of God on earth, not able to be overcome by suffering or violence or tragedy. So Jesus makes it clear that he's not dealing with the sort of power that Pilate is worried about. His kingdom is of a different kind. Its strength and power comes through an understanding of truth. And as Christians, we believe that that truth is a spiritual truth, a belief that real power comes from a God who is loving, just, and merciful, and who calls to all of us, whom he created, to imitate him in order to fulfill our true potential as human beings and bring in his kingdom, a kingdom of love, harmony, and peace. It's a kingdom in which the victory of good over evil is assured. This has never been more relevant to us, I think, than in the last few days, as once again, those who do not see where real power lies and believe that violence talks louder than kind words and good deeds have brought distress and suffering to so many. The message of Jesus is that God loves the world, and all people are invited to work towards the establishment of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Perhaps the following quotation will help us to explore this theme. I know of the goodness and vitality in individuals of every race and religion. I know that although the planet's societies are running against time, there is hope for them as a world community. But that they must embrace love in the spirit of those who have spoken of it and sometimes suffered for it, as an expression of humanity's all-inclusiveness. To transcend race, tribe, and religion, and cherish our common humanity, every individual must become the message, conveyed by one simple phrase, that is, the hope of the world. So writes Akbar Ahmed, a former Pakistani diplomat and academic, now a professor at American University in Washington, in his book, Journey into Islam. The hope of the world is that every individual must become the message, that every individual has this kind of power. It's a vision of a world at one with itself, secure in its diversity, happy in the strength and influence that comes with a belief in God-given life and its fulfillment. We as Christians need confidence to understand the kind of power that Jesus can give. It's demonstrated as well in the manger in which a human baby was placed at birth, as it is in the suffering of the cross, which led to a glorious resurrection. If we understand this, then we can believe with a verse of the hymn that we shall sing in a moment, "His kingdom cannot fail. He rules o'er earth and heaven." In a world with so many challenges, individual people like us do make a difference. With so much ignorance, we must promote knowledge and education. With so much prejudice, we can bring a tolerance of difference and a dispelling of fear. With so much intolerance, we must show respect and understanding. With so much inequality, we need to champion justice and fair shares for all. With so many lives in turmoil, we need to bring peace, and with so much suffering, compassion and relief. And in all this, we have to make sure that we don't neglect our own physical, mental and spiritual needs. Then we will have the reserves to act confidently under God's rule. Christ the King calls us all to work here in his kingdom, and we need courage to do so. Gordon Brown, in the foreword to his book about courage, put it like this: "The exercise of courage is not something found only in the actions of celebrated people in the context of great historic events. It is an everyday requirement in our society, an essential weapon in the struggle against prejudice, racism, violence, discrimination, and injustice, and in the creation of a good society. Without men and women of courage, we cannot meet and master evil, and no good can triumph." So, as we look back at the end of the church's year and look forward to Advent and Christmas, let us celebrate our belief in Christ the King and be stirred up to continue to build up his unworldly kingdom on earth. Amen.